إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with Sharh Sunnah, the Book of Creed and Belief of Imam Abu Muhammad al-Hassan ibn Ali al-Barbahari rahimahullah. The last time we had 3 points. Points number 70 until 73. Firstly, with regard to the questioning in the grave, so just to briefly mention some of the points that we had from the explanation of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, then we had that no doubt it's a part of our iman that the deceased, when he is placed in his grave, then he will be made to sit up in the grave, and two angels will come to him, Munkar and Nakir, one called Munkar and one called Nakir, and they will question the deceased. Every deceased person will be questioned by those two angels. They will be asked, who is your Lord? What is your religion? And who is your Prophet? And the believer will answer truthfully, my Lord is Allah, Islam is my religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my Prophet. And as for the disbeliever, the hypocrite and the doubter, then he will be unable to answer. So as for the believer, then in his grave will be made white for him, and the fragrance of a door will be opened to paradise for him, and the fragrance of paradise will come upon him, and the cool breeze of paradise will come upon him. And as for the disbeliever, then his grave will be crushed upon him, and the heat of the hellfire will come upon him, and the poisonous wind of the hellfire will come upon him. So Sheikh Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he mentioned that indeed the punishment of the grave is something mutawatir, reported in ahadith that are reported by huge numbers of people at every level of transmission, and therefore it is obligatory to believe in it. And that one who denies it, denies the punishment in the grave and the bliss of the grave, knowing of the texts and knowing of the proof, then he is a kafir, a disbeliever. And as for if he denies it out of ignorance, he's an ignorant, truly an ignorant person. He doesn't know. Or he's misinterpreting. Or he's just blindly following somebody else who says that. And that person, the affair is to be explained and made clear to him. And then when that has taken place, if he still persists, then he will be a disbeliever. Also, the issue was touched upon about the dead hearing, the deceased in the grave, hearing the person who visits him. We had from the explanation of Sheikh al-Sahimi that this is something that's not confirmed in authentic narration. It's a matter of the hidden and the unseen, so we withhold with regard to that, and we only affirm that the dead hear what is confirmed in text that they hear. And Sheikh al-Sahimi mentioned that this is restricted to two matters. It's restricted to the dead in the well of the battle, after the Battle of Badr, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed them, that they heard his speech. And likewise, that the deceased in general, when he is buried, has just been put in the grave, he hears the footsteps of those who have buried him departing the graveyard. So we leave it at that, and we don't extend the matter beyond that. Wallahu a'lam. And we had the point also that we have iman, true faith, that it is Allah the Most High himself who spoke to Musa. Musa went to the mountain that he heard Allah the Most High speak. So Musa heard the actual true speech of Allah. He did not hear the speech of someone else besides Allah. He did not hear the bush, tree or bush speaking. He He did not hear a cloud speaking, or the sky speaking, or anything else speaking. Rather, he heard Allah the Most High speaking. Contrary to what the Jahmiya and the Mu'tazila say, those who deny that Allah the Most High speaks. And the Sheikh of Fawzan said they deny it because they say if we affirm that Allah speaks, that will necessitate such and such and such and such. And in other words, they liken him in their minds to the creation, and therefore they deny that he speaks. They say, therefore, we have to deny that he speaks, otherwise we're likening him to the creation. And Sheikh al-Fawzan, of course, mentioned this is false and futile. Rather, we affirm that Allah the Most High speaks with a real voice, as is heard, speaking with letters and a voice. We do not make an analogy between the Creator and the creation. Allah Most High, his speech as befits him, we don't make any analogy between the Creator and the creation. So Allah the Most High spoke to Musa, and Musa heard him. And Allah the Most High spoke to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Mi'raj, the night journey. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard him when the five prayers were made obligatory. And the Shaykh Fawzan said, so therefore, and a number of texts were mentioned, so therefore whoever denies that Allah spoke, or that Allah speaks, is a disbeliever. And again, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, however, if the person who is ignorant, is truly ignorant of this matter, or blindly following somebody else, or misinterpreting, then again, the matter is explained and made clear to him. And the proof is established. If he still persists after that, then he is a disbeliever. And the third point that we had, very briefly, was that everything that occurs in this creation, from good or evil, then it is something ordained by Allah the Most High, ordained by him and decreed by him. He knew about it, he wrote it down in the preserved tablet, he willed it to occur, and he created it, he the Most High. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he continued, and what occurs here, on page 376, as point number 74, والعقل مولود أعطي كل إنسان من العقل ما أراد الله عز وجل يتفاوتون في العقول مثل الذرة في السماوات ويطلب من كل إنسان من العمل على قدر ما أعطاه من العقل وليس العقل باكتساب إنما هو فضل من الله عز وجل. Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, and intellect, al-aql, and intellect is inborn. Each person is given the intellect that Allah the Mighty and Majestic wills. They vary in degree of intellect, just like a speck at different heights in the heavens. An action is required from each person in accordance with the intellect he has been given. Intellect is not acquired, intellect is not earned. Rather, it is a favour bestowed by Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said, in explanation of this point, he said, al-aql, the intellect, it is a faculty which Allah places in the person by means of which he can comprehend things. By means of it, he can distinguish what is harmful from what is beneficial and what is good from what is evil. No one knows the nature, the kayfiyyah. No one knows the actual nature of the intellect, of the aql. Exactly how it is, how the intellect exactly is. She said, no one knows the nature of the intellect. People have groped about in confusion concerning it, but they have not reached a conclusion. They have not reached a certain conclusion. Because it is one of the secrets of Allah, which no one knows except Him. He, the Perfect and Most High. Then Sheikh Fawzan goes on to explain the word al-aql in the Arabic language. He said, and the aql, the intellect, it is called aql with an ayin and a qaf and a lam, because it withholds a person from that which will harm him. Just a side point here to make it clear what the Sheikh is indicating. In the Arabic language, in its origin, the word aql, it means al-habs. It means to withhold, withholding something. That's the origin of that word, al-aql. To withhold. So that's why the Sheikh said, so al-aql, the intellect, it is called aql, intellect, because it withholds a person from that which will harm him. Just as a tethering rope holds an animal back from escaping. This word, as in Arabic, they have this iqal, this thing, a tethering rope for an animal that ties it down, holds it back, stops it from escaping, withholds it from getting away. So in origin, the word, it means to withhold. That's why the intellect, as the Sheikh said, is called al-aql, because it withholds the person from entering into and doing that which will harm him. He said, and it is called also hijran. It is called hijr. The intellect is also called hijr. And again, in the Arabic language, this is a word, hijr, which means prevention, blocking and enclosing. Prevention, something like that. He said, and it is called, the intellect, it is called hijran, hijr, that which prevents. And he gives an evidence from the Quran, هَلْ فِي ذَلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي حِجَرْ Surah Al-Fajr, the 89th surah, ayah 5, with the explanation, is there not in these oaths, the oaths that are preceded in the four ayahs before, is there not in these oaths sufficient proof for a person possessing hijr, possessing intellect? Sheikh Fawzan said, al-hijr here is al-aql, the intellect. It is called that because it blocks and prevents a person from that which will harm him. And the meaning is similar to the word al-aql. Intellect is called the aql, and it's also called hijr, because it withholds and blocks a person from that which will harm him. And he said, and mentions a third name for the aql, the intellect. He said, and it is called an-nuha. He gives an ayah as evidence. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي النُّهَى Surah Taha, the 20th surah, ayah 54, with the explanation. In that there are clear signs for those who possess nuha, intellect. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning the people of al-Uqul, the people with intellects. He mentions a fourth name for al-aql, the intellect. He said, and it is called al-lub. He quotes the ayah, or the part of the ayah, li'ulil al-bab, li'ulil al-bab, Surah Al-Imran, the third surah, ayah 190. The explanation, for the possessors of al-bab, full of lub, for the possessors of intellects. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning the people with intellects. So having mentioned the names for al-aql, then he said, so this aql, this intellect, is from the signs of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And the saying of the author, huwa mawlud, it is inborn. What is apparent is that he intended that it is makhluq, something created, and that it is not something ancient or pre-existing, or that it is born along with the person. And this intellect, al-aql, as we have mentioned, no one knows its true reality except Allah. And therefore, the rhetorical theologians, the people have, of kalam, film of kalam, theological rhetoric, and the philosophers. They had confused ideas about it, and they did not reach a conclusion with regard to the upper, with regard to the intellect, because this is not within the scope of their knowledge. And the intellect varies from person to person. Intellect is something which varies. So from the people, there are those whose intellect is complete, such as the prophets, the Anbiya, alayhim salatu wassalam. And from the people, there are those who have no intellect at all, such as the insane person, and the mentally retarded, and the baby. And from the people are those who are in between, between having complete intellect and between not having intellect. In between, meaning he has intellect, but it is not complete. And they vary with regard to its deficiency. Some of them have serious deficiency in intellect, and some of them have a slight deficiency, and so on and so forth. And this is in accordance with whatever Allah, the Most, the Perfect and Most High, has put into him, put into that person. And he said, and al-aql, the word al-aql, is used to refer to al-fahm, understanding also. So it is said, أَقَلَ الْآيَاتِ الْقُرْآنِيَّةِ. It can be said about a person that he has أَقَلَ, meaning he has understood the ayahs of the Qur'an. And he gives the ayah as evidence for part of the ayah, لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعَقِلُونَ. Surah An-Nahl, the 16th surah, ayah 12, with the explanation. There are certainly signs for a people who understand. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning they understand the ayahs in creation, they understand the signs in creation, and the ayahs of the Quran. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. Surah Al-Ankabut, the 29th surah, ayah 43, with the explanation. And those are examples which we strike for mankind. Those are similes, examples which we strike for mankind. And no one understands them, except for the people with knowledge, except for the people endowed with knowledge. Sheikh Fawzan said, so al-aql, this word, which is for intellect, it can also be applied, he said, to al-fahm, understanding, and al-idraq, comprehension. And al-fiqh fi al-deen, and for having understanding of the religion of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Of course, the ayah from Surah Al-Qasas, the 28th surah, ayah 60. With explanation, will you not then understand? Will you not then have understanding? Then Sheikh Fawzan said, and from the people, there are those whose intellect is blotted out. I mean, it's there, but it's like it's erased or blotted out. He said, on account of his disbelief, and on account of his heedlessness. So therefore, he cannot distinguish between what is harmful and what is beneficial. So he possesses intellect. He has aql, but he possesses intellect, the faculty. However, he does not take benefit, he does not derive benefit from his intellect. He is deprived of benefiting from his intellect, and Allah's refuge is sought, on account of his disbelief, his kufr. So he becomes a person who cannot utilize his intellect. أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ. in hum illa kal an'am. Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th surah, ayah 44. The explanation: or do you think that most of them hear or reason? Rather, they are just like cattle. Sheikh Fawzan said, so Allah deprives him of his intellect as a punishment for him, since he did not use it with regard to that which benefits him. Rather, he only used it in that which contains no benefit, or in that which brings harm. So al-aql, the intellect, is from the signs of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. He said, he's saying, وَيُطْلَبُ مِنْ كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ مَا أَعْطَاهُ مِنَ الْأَقْلِ. An action is required from each person in accordance with the level of intellect that he has been given. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, التَّكْلِيف, being bound by duties, being bound by religious responsibility and duties, التَّكْلِيف, and commands and prohibitions and reward and punishment, all of them are made dependent upon al-aql, having intellect. He said, he's saying, وَلَيْسَ الْأَقْلُ بِاكْتِسَابِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ فَضْلٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُ. He said, and the intellect is not earned, it's not acquired, rather it is just a fadl, a favour bestowed by Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the intellect is from Allah, the Majestic and Most High. He is the one who plants it in the person. And it is from the secrets of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, in His creation. A person does not earn and acquire intellect himself. Yes, a person can strengthen his intellect. He has it, or he doesn't have it. If he's given intellect by Allah the Most High, the Shaykh said, then yes, he can't earn it himself, but if he has it, Allah has given it to him, then he can strengthen it. Said, yes, a person can strengthen his intellect by reflecting upon the ayat of Allah. He can strengthen it by reflecting upon the signs of Allah, by carefully pondering upon the Quran. But as for his earning intellect, which is not present, then no, that cannot happen. Allah is the one who produces intellect in him. He himself cannot produce intellect by himself and earn it himself. However, he can strengthen it. If it's there, he can strengthen it. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا أَوْ آذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Surah Al-Hajj, the 22nd surah, ayah 46, with the explanation. Will they not travel upon the earth so that they can have hearts with which they can reason, or ears which they can hear with? For indeed, it is not the sight of the people that becomes truly blind. Rather, it is the hearts which are in the chests which become blind. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so this indicates that reflecting upon the creation and reflecting upon the destruction that occurred to the previous nations on account of their disbelief and their sins, this benefits a person and strengthens his intellect. Not that it brings about intellect which was not present in the first place. That's where Shaykh al-Fawzan, after the Allah, ends explanation of this point, briefly, with regard to the explanation of Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah, then he said on this point, he said, he's saying al-aqlu mawlud, intellect is inborn. He said, meaning that it is born along with the person himself, and it grows and increases as he grows. So the intellect begins as something small, begins small, and then it grows larger along with its person. And there is no doubt that the intellects vary in accordance with that which Allah has given to each person. Intellects vary in accordance with what Allah has given to each person. And Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, has praised in the Quran the people of intellect. And he said, and the people of Usul al-Fiqh, the people of the fundamentals of fiqh, which fiqh is based upon, are in agreement that the intellect, the aql, is what being bound by duties depends upon. You know, a person is given Islamic duties when he has intellect, even though it is something which varies. And then they disagree about whether the intellect, the aql, whether it is in the brain, the dimagh, or whether it is in the heart. They disagree about that matter. The intellect, is it in the brain, or is it in the heart? And the heart, which is in the chest, and the dimagh, the brain, is in the head. Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, hafizahullah, he said, and what is apparent is that there is a close connection between the two of them. Between the heart and the brain. With regard to intellect, there's a close connection. What's apparent? There's a close connection between the heart and the brain. And the action of one will not be completed except with the other one. So, thinking, which occurs in the brain, will not be completed except by means of the heart, in what is apparent. However, the brain is the station of thinking and the place of awareness and what duties are dependent upon. And every person, Allah has prepared him with that which he prepared him with from faculties. And thinking and intellect vary. They vary very greatly. We ask Allah to guide us aright and to save us from the evil of ourselves. He said, and the great liars have invented a hadith with regard to the intellect. And it is a hadith which is mawdu, fabricated. It is a lie made up, in which there occurs, أول ما خلق الله الأقل. The first thing that Allah created was the intellect. So he said to it, come forward, so it came forward. Then he said to it, go back, so it went back. Sheikh said, this is a hadith which is mawdu, fabricated, by consensus of the scholars. Then he said, and there is no doubt that the intellect, al-aql, is a gift from Allah for the servant, with which he distinguishes, or rather which distinguishes him from the rest of the creation. And on account of it, he comes to deserve reward or punishment. And Allah is the one who grants success. Then finally, on this point, Sheikh Salih al-Sahimi, hafidahullah, he said, after mentioning some speech, he said, so the aql, the intellect, by which a person understands things, is a ni'mah, it is a favour from Allah, which Allah has bestowed upon mankind. So with it, he can distinguish between the truth and falsehood, and between that which is foul and that which is good, and between that which is worthless and that which is of value, and between innovation and sunnah, and between tawheed and shirk, and between the way of the salaf and the way of the khalaf, the later comers who are not upon their way. And he can distinguish between the path leading to paradise and the path leading to the fire. So this is a tremendous favour which Allah has bestowed upon mankind. to the exclusion of the rest of the created beings upon the earth. So it is obligatory that we are thankful to him for it, and that we utilize it in that which will draw us closer to Allah. We use it in that which will draw a person closer to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And he mentioned some further speech with regard to the intellect, that we don't take it as being, that we use it to ponder and reflect with and distinguish with, but we don't make it an independent evidence for us over and above text. And he said, and the correct and sound intellect conforms to the authentic text, and it does not contradict the legislation. And with regard to the next point, point number 75, then Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah, he said, وَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَضَّلَ الْعِبَادَ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ عَدْلًا مِنْهُ لَا يُقَالُ جَارَ وَلَا حَابَ فَمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ فَضْلَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ وَالْكَافِرِ سَوَاءٌ فهو صاحب بدعة بل فضل الله المؤمن على الكافر والطائع على العاصي والمعصوم على المخذول عدلا منه هو فضله يعطيه من يشاء ويمنعه من يشاء. He said, and you should know that Allah has favored some of the servants over others in this world and in the hereafter. He has done so justly. It cannot be said that Allah, or rather, it cannot be said that he acted unjustly or has shown undue favour. Whoever says that Allah has favoured the true believer and the disbeliever equally, whoever says that Allah has favoured the true believer and the disbeliever equally, then he is a person upon innovation. Rather, Allah has favoured the believer over the disbeliever, the obedient one over the sinner, and the one he has rendered secure from error over the one who is humiliated, doing so justly. It is his favour which he bestows upon whomever he wishes, and withholds from whomever he wishes. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said in explanation, he's saying, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَضَّلَ الْعِبَادَ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, and you should know that Allah has favoured the servants, some of them over others, in this world and in the hereafter. He said, Allah has favoured some of the people over others. He has favoured the believer, has bestowed favour upon the believer over the disbeliever with that which Allah has given him from Iman, on account of his having Iman. And he withheld from the disbeliever on account of his disbelief. And Allah favoured the believers, some over others, in more favour to some than others. And the messengers, the Rusul, Allah favoured some of them over others. تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 253. The explanation, those messengers, we favoured some over others. Those messengers mentioned before, in the ayahs which came before, we favoured some of them over others. Shaykh said, this is the fadl, this is the favour or bounty of Allah, which he gives to whomever he wishes, he the Perfect and Most High. And no one may raise any objection to Allah, because this is his mulk, this is his dominion, his kingdom, that which belongs to him, he the Perfect. He can give it to whomever he wishes. So the kingdom is his, belongs to him. He can give it to whomever he wishes, he the Perfect. And the favour that is bestowed is his favour, he may give it to whomever he wishes. So there could be no objection raised against Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Then Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, whereas the Mu'tazila, this deviant sect, the Mu'tazila, they say, it is obligatory that Allah treats the people equally and gives them all the same. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is to show evil manners towards Allah and is to raise objections against him. High and tremendously exalted is Allah above that which they say. He has to do this, it's obligatory. Allah has to do such and such that they invent with their minds. This is evil manners of Allah, and is to raise objections against him. The Shaykh said, he does not punish anyone except for a crime that he has committed. Or rather, before that, he said, so Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, he bestows favour on some of his creation over and above others. And this is his kingdom, belongs to him. So there can be no objection to him. Then he said, he does not punish anyone except for a crime that he has actually committed, since to do so would contradict justice, and Allah does not oppress. So he does not punish anyone without his having committed a crime, or punish anyone for somebody else's crime. Does not do that. And Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes the ayah, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى وَإِنْ تَدْءُ قَلَةٌ إِلَى حَمْلِهَا لَا تُحْمَلْ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى. Surah Fatir, the 35th surah, ayah 18, with the explanation. And no bearer of sin will bear the sins of another. And if someone weighed down with sins were to call someone else to bear his sins for him, then he will not be able to find anyone to bear any of them for him, even if it be a close relative. Shaykh Fawzan said, so Allah, the Majestic and Most High, with regard to the aspect of al-jaza, recompense that he gives, then his recompense is adl, is just. What he gives in recompense is just. And as for the aspect of al-ata, what he gives freely, then this is father, a favour from him, he the Perfect and Most High. And it is not for anyone to raise any objection to it. He's saying, فَمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ فَضْلَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ وَالْكَافِرِ سَوَاءٌ فَهُوَ صَاحِبُ بِدْعٍ. He's saying, so, and whoever says that the favour of Allah upon the believer and the disbeliever is just the same, then he is a person of innovation. Shaykh Fawzan's answer. This is the same of the Mu'tazila. They say that it is obligatory upon Allah to make all of the people believers. A binding obligation, they say, upon Allah to make all of the people believers. And that he should not make just some of them disbelievers and some of them believers. He should make all of them rich. He should make all of them scholars. And Hazan said, this is to raise an objection against Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Because Allah is Hakim, Allah is all wise, and it is not from his wisdom that he should make all of the people the same in knowledge or in riches or in reward and punishment. He said, and it is not from his wisdom that he should make all of mankind wealthy. If all of them were wealthy people, then the creation would be ruined, because they would not find anyone who would carry out any work, and production would cease. And therefore Allah, the Perfect and Most High, has favoured some of the people over others with regard to provision. He has made this one rich and this one poor, so that the creation can thrive. If they were all rich, then they would not produce anything. And if they were all poor, then they would not be able to work and produce. So Allah has caused them to vary, so that the creation should operate and thrive. وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. Surah Az-Zukhruf, the 43rd surah, ayah 32, with the explanation. And we raised some of them over others in levels, so that some of them should employ others to work. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, meaning, some of them employ others to work for wages. So when that happens, then the creation can grow and prosper, and benefits are attained. He said, he's saying, بَلْ فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنَ عَلَى الْكَافِرِ وَالطَّائِعَ عَلَى الْعَاصِي وَالْمَعْصُومَ عَلَى الْمَخْدُورِ. Rather, Allah has favoured the believer over the disbeliever, and the obedient one over the disobedient one, of the sinner, and the one he has rendered secure from error over the despicable one, the one who is humiliated. Sheikh Fawzan said, Allah favoured the believer over the disbeliever, and he gave favour to the obedient one over the sinner. This is his justice, his adl, he the perfect, and his fadl, his favour. So no one may raise any objection to him. And that's where Sheikh Al-Fawzan, Hafizahullah, ends explanation of that point. And just briefly, with regard to the explanation of Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, Rahimahullah, he said, after some speech, he said at the end, therefore, this section, this part here, necessitates from us that we have the aqeedah, the creed and belief that Allah the Mighty and Majestic caused his servants to be of different levels as a favour from him and as justice. لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Surah Al-Anbiya, ayah 23, with the explanation, he is not to be questioned, Allah the Most High is not to be questioned about that which he does, but rather they are to be questioned. He said, so it cannot be said, why did he make that one a messenger and make that one a person who is humiliated, and why did he make that one a believer who is granted success of correctness, whereas he made that one a rejected one and humiliated? That cannot be said, should not be said. Rather, it is obligatory that we believe that Allah is free of committing oppression, dhulm, and that he does whatever he wishes, and he decrees whatever he wills. However, all of his actions are based upon hikmah, wisdom, and rahmah, mercy, and fadl, favour, and adl, justice. That is what is obligatory upon us to believe with regard to our Lord, the Majestic and Most High. This is the creed that is supported by the texts of the Qur'an and the prophetic texts. And it is that which the scholars of the Ahl of Sunnah wal Jama'ah are agreed in consensus upon. And Allah is the one who grants success. الحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك